Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, and welcome back to the Delaine MD Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn, and today we are on podcast, I believe, number 27. Sometimes the numbering's off and it's not quite right, so if you're counting another number, you might totally be right. Strong work for you. We're going to call this podcast number 27. Today, we are going to talk about self-care and self-sabotage, and this kind of comes on the tails of last week's podcast about buffering. So I'm going to run through a couple scenarios with you where we typically want to do some act of what we call self-care. So the first scenario is maybe you had a rough day. It was a hard day at work. Your boss got on you. Something didn't go the way you hoped it would. You forgot about something. And it was just overall one of the harder days. And what do you want to do? What does your brain offer you? Your brain offers you pizza, maybe M&Ms, maybe Snickers, whatever that looks like. Your brain offers you some kind of food. Or maybe your kids came home from school and there was a bad report from the teacher. Maybe they got a grade that they didn't want or that you wish they'd gotten a better grade. Or maybe they acted out or misbehaved at school and the teachers are writing home to contact you because it's becoming an issue. And what do you think? Man, I need a glass of wine. I'm going to have a glass of wine tonight. Or maybe you had a breakup with a significant other or you got in an argument with your husband. And you're having a rough go of it and you're frustrated. And what do you want to go do? You want to go out and shop. I think what'll help is a new pair of shoes. All of these scenarios seem pretty innocent. They seem like innocent self-care. It seems like we would have a bad situation that's challenging to deal with, so we want to indulge. That seems innocent enough. We want to indulge in food or indulge in beer or wine or indulge in shopping. Because what a bad situation obviously deserves is a little bit indulgence, right? But what I want to offer you is that that indulgence is at the expense of your health goals, of your greater goals. Maybe it's the health goals, or maybe it's at the expense of tomorrow because you're going to be hungover. Or maybe it's at the expense of your financial goals because you went shopping. All because you don't want to believe that you can, or you don't want to believe that you should have to deal with the bad experience without having some kind of out or some kind of indulgence. So this begs the question of what truly is self-care. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So if you look up self-care, like if you Google it, you're going to get something along the lines that self-care is something that fuels us instead of taking away from us. And it truly is that simple. But I like to think of self-care as a deliberate action. It's something that you do deliberately, taken in the interest of improving you in some way, improving your mental health, improving your physical health, improving your emotional health, or maybe improving your spiritual health. But it's a deliberate action that you take in your best interest, serving your greater goals. So what is not self-care? So what's not self-care is when we buffer and we seem like it's self-care, but it's not a deliberate action that serves anything for our greater goals. So it's eating, it's drinking, it's having chocolate, which I know is eating, but for me, chocolate's a different kind of eating maybe. It's shopping, it's checking out and watching TV or Netflix or checking out on social media for an hour and a half. It's gambling. Buffering is something that we do to avoid a negative experience versus something that we do to manage our negative emotions. This is self-sabotage. This is not self-care. So I just heard one of my mentors this week speaking on buffering, and she made a great point about it. She made the point that when we spend our time buffering to learn to tolerate our lives, that we miss out on changing the things that we're having to tolerate. Tolerating is a totally different podcast, but I want you to think about what tolerance really is. Tolerance is the putting up with of something you really don't like. That's really what it means to be tolerating something. I really don't like it when we talk about social movements and tolerance, that we're tolerating something. That I have a problem with that. That because I don't really like you, but I'm going to tolerate your existence. That really bothers me. But either way, that's totally another topic, totally another podcast. When we are tolerating things in our lives, things that we feel like we have to buffer against, that's where your work really needs to be done. Don't you want your life to be more than just a series of putting up with things that you didn't like? So when we buffer, we're missing out on changing those things, on working on those things, so we're not just tolerating things. So not only are we actually not present in our lives because we're checking out, but we're gaining weight, we're earning a hangover, or we're getting farther into debt, or not getting out of debt as quickly as we'd like to, all in an effort to buffer our lives away instead of doing what it takes to actually make changes in our life so that there's no need then to tolerate or buffer anymore. That seems to make way more sense to me than eating, drinking, shopping, gambling to deal with our lives. So how do you know the difference? How do you know when you're buffering or when you're engaging in acts of self-care? So it's a simple question. Is this in support of my bigger goal or not? Is this an action that seems like self-care that is going to serve or help me learn to manage negative emotions? Is it an action that is going to help me process the negative experience? Is this action teaching me anything? Is it helping me to build the life that I've always wanted to have? If the answer to any of these questions is no, then it's likely that you're just buffering. So eating when you have a bad day does not help you manage a negative emotion. You aren't learning anything about why you're feeling that negativity because you're just bathing your brain in dopamine so you can feel a little bit better. That dopamine coming from the food that you eat. Eating does not teach you anything about why you have experienced the negative emotions. Eating does not allow you to process the negative feelings because you aren't feeling the negative feelings. You're running from them. You don't learn anything because you're not actually dealing or evaluating the scenario, and you're certainly not building a healthy life or accomplishing the goals that you've always dreamed of accomplishing. It's that simple to know the difference. The answers are the same. If you are use drinking to deal with your negative emotions, or if you're using shopping to deal with your negative emotions, or if you're checking out on Facebook, or if you're gambling, whatever your buffer of choice is, the answers are all the same. If you are engaging in those activities, you are not engaging in the growth of you as a human being. You're not engaging in working on those goals that you truly want to accomplish. So why is self-care important? It's important because when done correctly, you grow. You become the kind of person who does not need something external from you to deal or tolerate your life. Instead, you become the kind of person that looks at these parts of your life and you start to work on them, making your life everything that you've ever wanted it to be. But if you're busy shopping, or if you're busy eating, or if you're busy drinking, you can't be working on those things. You can't be working on having the life that you've always hoped for. So examples and recommendations for taking care of yourself well, for good self-care. Exercise is always a great example. So during your exercise, you actually release endorphins, so you do naturally feel better. You also give yourself some space to start to look at what happened. Look at the scenario that you're really struggling with. Look at the ways that maybe your thoughts are making it more challenging. How could you handle it differently? How could you approach it differently? Exercise gives you space to do all of those things. Exercise also serves your greater health goals. So there's a number of great reasons of why exercise is really beneficial. Meditation is another great example of this. Remember that meditation trains your brain to do something different, not to run away, not to do what it's used to doing. Meditation will train your brain not to run away from the things that you're worried about or the stressful situation that you're trying to deal with. Meditation also trains your brain to not spin out in thoughts that don't serve you. So a lot of times our brain wants to spin out on thoughts focused on how bad a scenario is. Again, this doesn't serve any improvement or any solution. Meditation helps you learn to refocus that brain, refocus your thoughts on something that is more serving of your greater goals. A warm bath, that's a great example of self-care. It gives you a chance to relax. It gives you something physically pleasant to kind of counteract that negative emotion that you might be experiencing, all while still allowing you to be present with that negative emotion and keep working and thinking on what happened during the day. How could I have made it different? How could this scenario be different? And then keeping your word to yourself. Now, I'm going to spend some time on this because a lot of times people think that this is totally irrelevant and I'm just harping on the importance of keeping your plan to yourself. However, I want you to recognize that when you don't keep your plan to yourself, you are creating more negativity for you. Instead of keeping your plan to yourself and continuing with your weight loss efforts, when you eat on plan, you're eating off plan. You've stalled out your weight loss efforts, maybe even gained back some of your weight loss, and now you've also allowed your primitive brain to run the show.
recognizing when our primitive brain, that very primal part of our brain that focuses on rewards and instincts and urges, that part of our brain will want to continue to run the show. The more you let it run the show, the more it wants to run the show. So then it starts to offer you more options to continue to be off plan. Not only do we have to deal with the primitive brain kind of acting out at that point, but then you also have all this neurochemistry in your brain because you ate foods that maybe produced more dopamine than you usually would, whether that's eating more of it or eating foods that don't really serve your body, you're going to have more intense cravings. You also have more insulin in your system if you've eaten off plan because either you've eaten too much of what you plan to eat or you've eaten foods that don't serve you. So you're also going to have hunger signals coming from that insulin. So your primitive brain is going to totally pitch a large fit when then your prefrontal cortex tries to take over again and run the show. So recognize how much harder you make it when you are not keeping your word to yourself and sticking to your plan. Sticking to your plan makes your life easier, and it truly is an act of self-care. And the more you practice it and look at it that way, the more you'll see how truly self-serving, how much sticking to your plan serves all of those greater goals. And remember, that's truly what self-care is. And lastly, the last example I have, although there are others out there, but again, remember, always ask yourself, when I do this action, does it serve my greater goals, my greater health goals, my greater emotional goals, my greater mental health goals, my greater physical goals? If you can answer yes to those questions, then you're probably fine. But the last example I want to use is getting a massage. So this may be something that you plan after a week that you know is going to be particularly challenging. You've got a lot of deadlines. There's some inspection at work that's happening. Maybe it's Thursday and you're like, man, it has been a hard week. I think I'm going to go ahead and just schedule a massage for the weekend. So remember, massage works by shutting down the sympathetic nervous system. That's the part of your nervous system that activates your anxiety or your fight or flight response. And then the massage also activates the opposite of that, the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's the part of your nervous system that's involved with calm and rest. This is a way of actively turning on that calm and that rest to help you soothe some of the stress and anxiety. And because you have to do this in advance, it's never coming from that primitive brain. It's a decision that's made in advance from that prefrontal cortex, weighing out the pros and the cons of that decision. So I want you to look at your life, look at your day-to-day routines, and see where you see in your recent past that you have been maybe indulging in quote-unquote self-care that's really self-sabotaging and really just a form of buffering. And then I want you to try to be aware of when you want to do this. You can offer some of these other techniques, whether that be a warm bath or a massage or whatever that might be. You can try some of those, but for right now, just look and see how much are you doing this and see how much it does not serve your greater goals for your health. If you have any questions, you know you can always contact me at Delaine@DelaineMD.com or send an email to that email address if you want to do a consult. The consults are free, and we can see where coaching can help you really master some of these techniques so you can have that naturally healthy life that you've always wanted for long term. Okay, I will talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.